morning. Is that all right if I do that? I'm going to start with a disclaimer. Don't normally do this, but I do not want you to take my word this morning for what I'm going to preach on this morning. I do not want you to think I am some authority or have some great understanding or power or anything like that. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to think that at all, because I don't. I am a regular guy just like you. I have no great anything about me. The only great anything about Eldon Cook is the Holy Spirit that I know lives within inside me, because that God gave me that spirit. He gave me that gift. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you should have that same gift. So what I am saying to you this morning is I do not want you to take me at my word. I want you to get in that book this week, okay, on your own. Every single one of you. I want you to get in this book and discover for yourself whether what I am saying today is truth or not, okay? I don't want you to take my word at this. I want you to get in this book, because the power of God's word is right here, okay? So get into God's word and check what I'm saying. And actually, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to read through the entire New Testament with these goggles on this week. The entire New Testament. And if you can't get through it all this week, I understand, but I want you to start looking at it with these goggles that I'm going to give you this week. It's kind of like one of those things that we never notice it until someone puts the goggles on. Like, spring is coming. I don't know where I'm going here, but spring is coming, right? Hopefully at some point in time. You know, what comes back with springtime? What comes back? Flowers come back. But even before the flowers start coming back, they start coming in on their wings. Birds. And what kind of birds are the most prevalent? The robins. You know what I'm talking about? We always know that spring is just around the corner when you start seeing the robins coming in. Even when the snow's on, when you start seeing robins, you know that it's going to start warming up. You know spring is right around the corner. But you know what? Unless someone tells me to start looking for robins, I don't even notice them. They're just another birds. But as soon as someone says, hey, I saw the first robin. Does anyone else like this? As soon as someone says, hey, I saw the first robin, all of a sudden, like, ding, my eyes are looking for robins, and I'm starting noticing, and I start looking for them because I got my robin goggles on. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly what I want to happen this week for you in God's word, because I'm going to put these goggles on you, and I want you to read God's word with these goggles. Did I say something funny? Oh, no, not Robin Jameson. We're all looking for you, Robin. No. The little robins with the red breasts and the wings and stuff like that. But I want to put these goggles on you this week to read through God's word, and hopefully all these things, all this aspect of what I'm going to be talking about this morning is going to stand out to you, and you're going to have a great understanding of how God is working in our lives and how he wants to work in an amazing way, okay? So the big word that I want to look at this morning is called. We're called. Okay, we've been looking at Jesus' life. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Jesus' baptism. At the beginning of his ministry, he was baptized. He didn't have to be baptized. He was without sin, but he was doing it in all obedience and righteousness towards the Father. And so he was baptized. So we looked at Jesus' baptism. Then last week, we looked at Jesus' temptation and how he was tempted in the wilderness and how he overcame that temptation by the power of God's word. Today, we're looking at the next aspect of Jesus' ministry here on this earth. And it comes right in Matthew chapter 4, I think it is. Matthew chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. Matthew chapter 4, right after the temptation, it says when Jesus, this is verse 12. I'm getting in a rush. I need to slow down. Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 12, it says when Jesus heard that John the Baptist, had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake of the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And then it says in verse 17, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, just like John was. He started to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Wasn't there yet, but it was very near. Okay? And then the next part you come into is Jesus going out across the countryside, and he starts to call his disciples. He starts to call people unto himself. He starts to call followers. That's part of his ministry.
It's part of his ministry. Jesus' ministry, God's ministry on this earth is becoming brand new. Instead of us calling to him, he is now going to start calling to us. Okay, this is kind of a neat little thing. I have a concordance in the back of my Bible. I'm a concordance junkie, if you didn't know that. I just love this thing back here. It tells all the occurrences of a word. In the Old Testament, and I'm just going back to my concordance here, and I'm just going to read it off to you. In my concordance in the Old Testament, these are all the occurrences of the word called. And I want you to notice the pattern that's going on here, okay? I'm just going to read them very quickly, just little portions of them. It says in 1 Kings 18:24, I will call on the name of the Lord. 2 Kings 5:11, call on the name of the Lord, his God. 1 Chronicles 16:8, to the Lord call on his name. Psalm 105:1, to the Lord call on his name. Psalm 116:13, and call on the name of the Lord. 116:17, and call on the name of the Lord. 145:18, near to who call on him. It goes on and on and on. Most every passage is the idea of we're calling on the Lord. We're calling out to him. We're searching for him. We're beseeching him. We're reaching out to him, okay? But there was a problem because man could not reach out to God at this point in time. I loved how John prayed that it is possible that we can pray to him because of Christ this morning, okay? We are able to call out to God. There's a conduit that we have to God now because of the sacrifice of Christ, okay? And we can now call on the name of the Lord. We can call out to him and we can know, just like John said, we can know that he's hearing us. Before Christ came, there was a separation between man and God, and we had to call out to God. And if he chose, he would hear. He always hears us. But he has an obligation now because of Christ to respond. So in the Old Testament, we are constantly calling out to God. But then you get in the New Testament and Jesus' ministry, and it's switched. You see, all of a sudden, Jesus started calling people. He started gathering followers. If you look with me in Matthew chapter 4, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, he says, come and follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. I love that passage, but I'm not going to dwell there. At once they left their nets and followed him. Do you hear that? At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and they were in a boat with their father, Zebedee, preparing the nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. They followed. You see, Jesus called, and they followed. You can go on, and you can look at Matthew. And when he called Matthew, and Matthew brought Jesus home and the disciples, and he had a Matthew party. He invited all the other tax collectors and stuff like that. And he called all these people together to hear the name of Jesus, to hear the word of Jesus. But you see, something has happened. Jesus is starting a new ministry that had never been established on this earth. No longer is man calling out to God, but now God is calling to man. He's calling them to himself. He's gathering them. But see, it's like any other call. It's not like any other call, but it's a lot like another call. You have a choice whether you are going to respond to that call or not. Phone rings, okay? The phone, it's contrary to some of your beliefs, when the phone rings, guess what? You don't have to answer it. I knew there had to be one out there. You don't have to answer the call. You can let it ring. And a lot of people, when it comes to the phone call, the little phone ringing, we think we have to answer it immediately, as quick as we can. I know I'm reaching in my pocket and I'm fumbling along. I usually have gloves on. Why in the world did they make phones that you have to have your actual, Brent, this is your fault, brother. You have to have your actual finger. Didn't they realize it was going to be cold this winter? You have to have your actual finger to swipe it to answer the phone call. Does anyone else have a phone like that? Drives me crazy because I've got this phone and I've got these gloves and stuff because it's cold out and I'm outside most of, what? Can you use your nose? I tried that. They're just very cold. They don't keep my hands warm at all. Can you use your nose? Has anyone used your nose? Raise your hand if you use your nose to answer your call. Dude, I never thought of that. You know the first thing I'm going to try when I get done preaching today? Someone call me when we get done, and I'm going to be pulling my phone out and trying to swipe. Wow, how smart is that? We're getting way off the subject here. But so many people are so anxious to answer that call, but when Jesus calls, how many times are we putting him on hold? How many times are we putting it off? Well, I'll answer that later. I'll answer that later. I'll answer that later. He's calling me again. I'll answer that later. Oh, I know who that is. Caller ID. I'm answering that later. How often do we put off the call that Christ has put in our life? And he has. He's called us. He's calling a people unto himself. He's calling his children to come to him, to respond to him. Not just once in that moment of salvation, but he's calling us on a continual basis. I'm going to stand here and tell you right now, if you're not answering the call of Christ in your life on a daily basis, and he is calling on a daily basis. You don't have to be a pastor to get a call on a daily basis. If you're not answering the call of Christ in your life on a daily basis, you are not living. You're not experiencing the life that God has called you to. You're not experiencing the joy and the challenges and the craziness of living by faith and not by sight that he has in store for you. And there is something that you've got to understand. The greatest call that you could answer is the call of God in your life every single day. And you know what? Sometimes one call leads to the other. We ignore some of the calls and think, well, if we ignore that call, then it'll just be another call. You know what? This call is going to lead me to another call. And this call is going to lead me to another call. I wasn't going to do this, but this week with Kirk Liebe coming for our Seder dinner, I was just so excited because I love Kirk Liebe anyway. He's one of our missionaries that we support over there. He lives in Skokie. He is a missionary to the Jewish people. Okay, in Skokie, and there's a lot of them. Just a great, incredible Christian man. And I love listening to him. I love hearing his perspective. And when we were learning that he was going to be doing another Seder dinner, I was actually driving home from a doctor's appointment when Nathan called and said, hey, Kirk's on the phone wanting to know what date and stuff like that. And we nailed down March 30th, and I was excited about it. And I've got these crazy ideas about the Seder dinner a little bit, okay? And as soon as I hung up the phone with Nathan, I felt the Lord calling me to call someone else, call Rob Allen. And Rob's not here this morning, but I had this feeling that I was supposed to call Rob. I have no idea why, but I call Rob. I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to answer this call. I call Rob up. There's too many call words in here, isn't there? I call Rob up. I say, hey, what you doing, buddy? He says, you're never going to believe this. I said, what do you mean? He says, you'll never believe what I'm doing right now. I said, Rob, what's going on? Because he kind of sounded kind of goofy about it. He says, I'm plowing a driveway. I said, well, what's so weird about that? He says, as a road commissioner for Manlius, I was called to plow this driveway. It's an abandoned house. It's an abandoned house, and these people left, and the driveway has not been cleared, and someone said there's animals left, that they abandoned these animals up at this house, and they just left, and nobody's been there for months, and they're concerned that these animals might be up there, and so I'm plowing the driveway out so the animal control guy can come and check things out. And I was like, oh, man, that sounds terrible. He says, there's a big drift, and I was afraid it wasn't a drift because there were horses there and all sorts of stuff. And I was like, man, that just sounds sad. And I'm coming back, and I'm like, well, where are you at? And he told me. I said, well, that's right where I'm, you know, I'm going to drive right by there. He goes, you want me to stop by and help? Anyway, long story short, I've already made it long, haven't I? Long story, God has started to provide what we need for our Seder dinner in a really amazing way for just a whole... for just the whole experience. Anyway, so you'll hear the rest of that story one of these days when it's time. But anyway, it's just how God is lining things up just wonderfully. Don't be scared of the Seder dinner. It's going to be absolutely fine. I promise you. It's going to be absolutely fine. But he's lining up. But you know what? If I don't answer one call, sometimes calls build on one another, okay? They build on one another. And when we ignore the simple calls in our life with God, it sometimes down the road, keeps us from receiving the next call. And so when God calls you, you need to respond. You need to answer that call. Just real quick, I want you to write down, I know you can't get to every one of these, but I want you to understand that this is not something I'm making up. This is part of the study that I want you to do this week out of God's Word. And I'm just going to start you off. My favorite passage in the Bible, well, not that I have a favorite, but the one I probably quote more than anything else is what? It's all good, right? I say it in that abbreviated form, Romans 8:28. Okay? Listen to what it says. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been what? Called according to his purpose. Hear that again. Is it up there? It's not up there. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, and who have been called according to his purpose. The reason I say that's my favorite passage, and you know you've heard me say it over and over again, of the circumstances of life that I find myself in or that other people find themselves in, I consider it all good. And when things are going the hardest, people look at me and I'll say, well, then what do you think? I say, I think it's all good. And they look at me and say, how can you say it's all good? And the reason I can say, no matter what the circumstance, no matter how hard, no matter how tragic, no matter how bad, I can still say it's all good because I know that I love God and I know that he loves me. And if I know those two things, I know no matter what circumstance that I find myself in, that he is going to work that circumstance for the good because I know he loves me and I know he has called me according to his purpose. So it's all good. But that idea that he called me is right there. It's all the way through the scripture. Take a look with me in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Are you going to be able to keep up today? Who is it back there? Logan? 1 Corinthians 1:9. Smart Alec. Look in verse 4. It says, I always thank God for you because of his grace given you. See that? The grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and all your knowledge, because of our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has what? Called you into fellowship with his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. You see what it says? God has called you. He's called you. In Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of what? I urge you to live a life worthy of what? The calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were what? Just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You see, God called you. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, you can look at. He calls you into his kingdom. 2 Timothy 1:9, you can look at. He called us into a holy life. Hebrews 9:15, a new covenant that Jesus brings to us, that is those who are called into that covenant. 1 Peter 2:9, called you out of darkness. 2 Peter 1:10, eager to make your calling and election sure. You see, there is a calling that God has brought us to. There's a calling and a response, a calling and an answering to that call. You see, there's no other way it happens. You see, a lot of people think that we can just follow Jesus. We can just know about him. We can just have knowledge about him. We can just go to church and be good and be fine and all these different things. That's all good. We can have head knowledge. We can have an understanding. We can have what was that word I was trying to think of before, Nathan? We can have a intellectual understanding of Jesus and be good. We can do all the right things and be good. No. there's a calling. The reason I say that is because there were a lot of people that were following Jesus in his day. There was a lot of people besides the 12 that were following him. And it came to a point when Jesus got hard in his ministry, when Jesus' teaching got too difficult for them, they turned to away. Do you remember when Jesus says, you must eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink his blood? Do you remember what the scripture says? It says many of them turned away. They said, this teaching is too hard for us. And they turned away. They were following Jesus. They were going where he was going. They were receiving the miracles. They were seeing the things, but they were not called by Christ at that point in time yet. They were just followers. They were just following alongside of him. But when the teachings of God became too hard, they turned away because they weren't called. They were just seekers. And then Jesus turned to the disciples, the 12, and he said to them, he says, are you going to turn away also? Are you going to leave? And it was Peter who says, where else can we go? He says, you have the words of eternal life. We've got no choice because we responded to the call. You see, Peter could have said no. He says, I got all these fish that you gave me in this net. I could have said no. He could have said no, and Jesus would have walked away. Simon could have said no. Andrew could have said no. Thaddeus could have said no. They all could have said no and walked away, but they responded to the call, and they followed Christ. And he used them. He used them. Let me ask you very point blank. Just point blank. Have you heard the call of Jesus? Has God called you? First of all, has he called you unto himself to be a child of God? Because in order to respond to a call, you have to hear it. You have to listen to it. You have to be looking for it. This is the goggles part of this sermon. I'm trying to put the God goggles on you. I'm trying to put the listening cap on you so that you'll be listening to the call, because God is trying to do that. But it's just like the robin thing. If I'm not looking for them, I just go by and they're just everything else. But if I put the God goggles on you right now, or the God earmuffs, or however you want to put it, if all of a sudden you're starting to listen, you're trying to discern, you're trying to hear the call of God, you will hear it. And if you do hear it, you have a responsibility. You have an incredible gift to respond to it and be obedient to it. It's an awesome thing. It makes life truly worth living. It brings spice into the world. It brings joy. It brings heartache. It brings pain. But it brings life into this world. I struggled with this message so much this morning. Not that I don't believe it, because I believe it with all of my heart. But when I say it, it takes responsibility off of me and puts it on God. Just think about this for a second. It's no longer dependent on me chasing after God and calling out to God and me doing the right things. It's no longer dependent on my ability to find God. I become completely dependent on God to call me. Do you see the difference? You see, if it was up to me and it was in my power, I could chase after him and grab hold of him and just wrap my arms around him and say, you're mine and I'm going to hang on to you. I'm going to try my best. I'm going to do as good as I can do. I'm going to be as good as I can be. I'm going to, you know, all these different things. But it's not up to me in this scenario. It's up to God to look down and say, Eldon Cook, I choose you. And I call you unto myself. And then I get to respond. The reason I'm struggling with this so much in this whole message this morning is because what's coming right after this service this morning, after this message, We've got a baby dedication. Very special baby. Very special baby to me. It's my grandson. Our grandson. You know what? In 3 months of living, 3 months, right? In 3 months of living, this little guy has gotten so deep into my heart. I love him so much, as I know she does, and I know those people back there do. He has become so important to me. I value, I treasure the days that I get called and say, hey, will you come watch Vern for a little while? Because it is like the most awesome 3 or 4 hours of my week. That I get to go in there and lay him down on the ground on his little blankie with this little tent thing, and we put the blanket over top of it. We make this little tent, and we get in there and giggle and coo and laugh and talk. It is the most precious thing. He has developed such a deep sentiment in my little heart already that I want to give him Jesus. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I want to take all the decision out of it for Vernon. I know that sounds really bad, but I want to take a part. In fact, I love that little guy so much. I would take the spirit that's inside of me. I want to take it and I want to give it to him. I want to give him Jesus. But I can't do that. As much as I love him, as much as I want to give him Jesus, I want to just take it and put it in him. I can't do that. That's the hard part for me in this whole thing. I can't do that because I know it doesn't work that way. And the reason I know it doesn't work that way is because I have looked at this from beginning to end, from front to back. I've studied it. I've looked at it. And that's what I want you to do. I do not want you to take my word for this. I want you to get into God's word and look at it for yourself. It is a point in time that I am going to be praying for Vernon that God will call him. I'm saying, Lord, I love that little guy, and I want you to love him too. And Lord, I want you to call him. And I want to make sure that little Vernon Brian Gonnett knows that when God calls, that he's got the ears to listen and the smarts and the desire to respond. To give his life to Jesus. To accept the watery grave that God is calling him to at the beginning of his walk, and to be buried in that watery grave and to be raised anew to a new life of constant listening and responding and obedience. That's what I want. I can't do it the other way as much as I want to, as bad as I want to in my heart and in my soul. I want to just give it to him. But I can't. I can pray for him. I can teach him. I can love him. I can show him an example. I can do all those things as God calls me to at every moment of every day, at every chance that I have. But when it comes down to it, it's on the responsibility of God to call him and him to respond. It's a scary thing. It's a scary thing. And the reason I say that is because in so many ways, we've been taught the opposite. So many ways we've been taught that we just have to get on this path, and if we just follow this path, then we're good. We just fall in line with everyone else and we're okay. And what happens as we're following that path and we're following everyone else, we're following like this. Oh, turn right. Oh. And we're not listening, and we're not living by faith. We're living by sight. We're living by following other man-made rules. And rather than listening to the living God and looking at the truth of his word and responding to it. Because God's word demands a response. Listen to me. every single day. It's not a Sunday morning occurrence. It's not a one-time event. God's word demands a response to his call in your life every single day. And if you're not listening, you're not going to hear the call. If you haven't got the goggles on or the earmuffs on or whatever you need, you're going to continue to go through life in such a way that you don't even know he's calling. You don't even know the treasures and the opportunities that he has in store for each and every one of us every single day. You don't know the impact that you could have in someone else's life just by following what God is calling you to do, as crazy as it may be, as silly as it may sound. The obedience that we can have to Jesus Christ is an amazing part of life. It's the best part of life. I wish in some way, shape, or form that I could get me, to realize that life is the obedience to God and all the stuff in between is just filler. Just filler. If I could get that mindset, all of a sudden, my ears are attuned. My heart is ready. I am open to the will of God for my life. And he can lead it to wherever he wants to go. You see, that's our God. That's who he is. That's how much he wants to be involved in your life and mine. That's how much he cares. And what amazes me, that he is a God who is so big, so large, so amazing, that he's doing it not just for Eldon Cook. He's doing it for each one of his creation in all the world, at all times, every single day. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your ability, and he's calling you. He's calling you. He is calling you. So how do you respond? Right now he's calling me to wipe my nose so I don't drip in front of everyone. Obedience. See how good that was? He's calling you. How will you respond? Pick it up. Answer it. Caller ID it. Turn it down. Hit the button. Will you say, hello, what do you want me to do? Here I am, send me. Here I am. Here I am. It's up to you. Is he ready? Vernon Brian Gonnett, come on down. You might be thinking I'm calling Vernon down. I'm not. I'm calling Brian and Karina Gonnett down. Face that way. Hello, buddy. I'm going to read this because if I try to do it on my own, I'm going to cry. Let us hear the word of the Lord as it comes to us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6 through 7. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. It is a command of God that we should diligently seek to raise our children in such a way as to lead them to trust Christ as Savior, to hear him and obey him and to serve him as Lord. In response to this command, Brian and Karina bring Vernon today to present him to the Lord and dedicate themselves to this task, to train him and to teach him and to love him. The precedent for child dedication may be found in Scripture as in the presentation of Samuel to God by Hannah in 1 Samuel 1:28, and the presentation of Jesus to God by Joseph and Mary in Luke 2:22. And Paul reminded Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15 how from infancy he had known the Holy Scriptures because of his mother and his grandmother. Jesus considered children to be infinitely precious. And in Mark 10:14, he said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to them is the kingdom given." This is how he talks back to me all the time. The purpose of child dedication is to really be found in the purpose of the parents. They rightly understand that the ceremony of this parental dedication, their parents are pledging themselves to obey the command of Paul, who in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, tells parents to bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. If it is your intention as parents to present your child to the Lord today and pledge to bring them in the training and instruction of the Lord, then please answer as we do. Give them here. Vernon, how are you, buddy? Yes. Hang with me, all right? All right. I'm holding him, looking at you, and we're asking you these questions. Do you here this day recognize your child as a gift from God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing? If so, answer, we do. Do you here this day dedicate your child to the Lord who gave them to you? If so, say, we do. Do you here this day pledge as a parent that you will bring your child up in the nurture and the admission of the Lord? If so, answer, we do. Okay, here's a big one. Do you here this day promise to give your child every possible benefit of home, of school, and of church? If so, answer, we do. Do you here this day pledge to pray to God to prosper and bless your child as they grow and develop? Do you here this day promise to set a Christian example before your child as they grow up? Do you here this day pledge to do all you can to direct your child toward a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord? Vernon, this is all about you, buddy. You have a mommy and daddy who love you and want to make sure that you know Jesus and that you hear the call of God in your life and that you respond. They want to make sure that you listen and know that He loves you and that He's got a purpose for your life. If you, the congregation of WCBC and the family of this little guy, would like to stand. Tells us that it takes a village to raise a child, to help them grow and to learn and understand the truth of who God is and what He's calling them to be. Will you, as a congregation, the friends of this little guy, hear promise to be that family, that brother and sister, that mom and dad, that aunt and uncle, that brother in Christ to this little guy? If so, answer, we do. Let's pray. Father of all life, we thank You for life in Vernon. And we now dedicate him to Your love and to Your care. We pray that Your mercies will follow this child all the days of his life. Bless these parents and help them to remain faithful to the commitment to each other and the promises that they made this day to You on behalf of their child. Lord, we ask that each of us in this congregation, that You give us strength to fulfill our role and responsibility to pray for this child and to partner with these parents in providing the kind of environment that will be a blessing to them and that will lead them to the meaningful faith in Jesus. We pray this in the name of our Lord, who said, "Allow the little children to come unto me." In the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. This is Vernon Brian Gannon. May the blessing of God be upon you now and forevermore. Amen. To get things started in the right direction, we have have a new little testament for you to read to Vernon and a certificate of dedication. May God be with you. I love you guys.
Love you too.
Love you. Take care of him. You may be seated. Actually, no, just keep standing. Got to get you some exercise somehow this week. We have a mom and dad who responded in obedience to what God's calling them to do for their child. They aren't responding for Vernon. They're responding to what God is calling them to do as parents. You know, ultimately, we can only respond what God is calling us to do. And I don't know where each of us are at. Maybe today, God's calling you. He's put a crazy idea in your head that you don't think is possible. But with God, all things are possible. You might think you're not worthy, but through Christ Jesus, you are worthy. You might think right now that it's just a little voice in your head, but the Holy Spirit of God is calling you to respond to Him in whichever way He is calling. Maybe to accept Christ as your Savior for the very first time. Maybe to put off the hindrances that have kept you away for so long and just come in obedience to Him. However Christ is calling you this day, we're going to sing a song, maybe two. And I invite you to put on those goggles, those earmuffs, those whatever it takes to hear and respond to our Lord and Savior this day. Because He, and He alone, is worthy.